You knew the job was dangerous when you took it, Fred.
I have a question. Shh, be respectful of me.
You can act like a man!
He's colossal, stupendous. One might even go so far as to say he's mediocre.
I guess I should salute you as a worthy adversary and all that, but the truth is, I really did hate your guts.
This is the Signal Storm Podcast.
Many of you have heard the expression, all politics is local. Do you know what that means? All politics is local. It means that the government that is closest to you typically tends to be the government that has the most impact on your life. That's the way it's supposed to be. The reason why so many people find Beijing Biden such a disgrace, the reason why so many people find the Democrat Party such a disgrace is that on the federal level, the Democrats are always trying to push themselves into your life. So time was the federal government was kind of staying out of your business and basically taking care of what was in its sphere, and then leaving local government, state government, and then your local government to address more of your needs. But as we've allowed these Democrats to gain office, as we've allowed them to gain power, that whole American dynamic has been bastardized, has been thrown out of whack. So typically, what you're supposed to really pay attention to is your local city government, because that's where you live, then your state, and then your federal, and they should have commensurate power to that, because the ones that have the most direct impact on you should be the ones you have the most influence over. And those you have the least influence over, I'm talking those people that jump onto a plane and go to some far-off capital, someplace else in Washington, D.C., they should have the least power over you if you are a conservative. This is your worldview. Now, we started this tradition called Session Sources on the Chris Salcedo Show a couple of Texas sessions ago. And what we did is we just invited conservatives on to give us the 411 and what was being debated and all the politics. And frankly, I'm sad to say that politics really, really rules the roost in the Texas House, not so much in the Texas Senate. They're there to work, not political maneuvering, not trying to figure out ways to stymie and stifle your will. This is the biggest complaint that I think the conservative movement has had with the Texas House, is that typically when they get elected as Republicans, they go there and they figure out ways to not do what you want them to do. And then, so you'll continue to elect them. And they often claim, well, we just plain run out of time. You know, but conversely, the same clock is impacting the Texas Senate. And what do? They go right to work. They don't go on these adjournments. They don't sit there and drag their feet in an effort to run out the clock. And sadly, that's what I think is going on inside the Texas House in this session. Whereas the Texas House has taken up zero, none, nada of Texas GOP priorities. And the Senate is going to town. 30 of them knocked out halfway through session. So it makes you wonder, how legitimate is a government that says, you know what? My first order of business is to make sure that we don't deliver what the people want. That's our first order of business. And frankly, only people who call themselves Republicans in the Texas House, and then of course those in the federal government, seem to be doing this. It's a complete bastardization, a complete betrayal, if you will, of the relationship between citizen and government. They are supposed to be there to be for us, to be working for us. We're not supposed to be working for them, and they're not supposed to take it upon themselves to do what they think is best. They're to do what we think is best. Our session sources roll your way on the Salcedo Storm Podcast next.
And now a word from our sponsor.
Are you sick of all these Medicare commercials? Well, what if you're under 65 and need quality, affordable health coverage? American Medical Plan specializes in under 65 health insurance plans that have zero copays at the doctor and no deductible on all outpatient services, including surgeries. You pick your doctors and hospitals. There are private plans, enroll anytime, and they are 30 to 60% less than Obamacare. If you're paying too much for your own health insurance, call American Medical Plans. They will customize a plan managed and chosen by you, not the government.
A liberty-loving American takes on Washington, Hollywood, and the whole media establishment. He's Chris Salcedo. Join his fight. Tune in to The Chris Salcedo Show every weekday afternoon on Newsmax.
The establishment media is out of touch with the real things real Texans care about. Real news for real Texans. That's what Texas Scorecard does every day. Learn more and subscribe for free. TexasScorecard.com/Chris.
Folks, want to welcome on three conservative friends of The Chris Salcedo Show on radio and the Salcedo Storm podcast. Matt Rinaldi, he's the conservative chairman of the Republican Party of Texas. Representative Tony Tinderholt, conservative who represents District 94 in the Texas State House. And Representative Brian Harrison, the conservative who represents the 10th District in the Texas State House. Gentlemen, welcome to all of you.
Thank you for having us.
Chris, always great to talk to you, my friend.
Okay, guys. So basically, I want to set this up in two parts. We had a tradition, Representative Tinderholt has done this with me before, of basically talking to the folks about what's happening during the session, and we called it the session sources. So I'm going to replicate that for the podcast, but because we have no really spot breaks or anything like that, we can actually have an extensive conversation. So the first thing I want to focus on is this article in the Texas Scorecard, and this is the headline. I think it's going to get us started. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick concerned that GOP priorities won't pass the Texas House. Despite Republicans holding a majority in the Texas House, they have yet to consider any priorities of the Republican Party of Texas. Now, I have to let everybody know it's the exact opposite over there in the Senate. They have put the nose to the grindstone, and they have set their sights on, if not getting it done in short order, all top 30 of the Republican priorities. So, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to go to you first. How disconcerting is it for you to be a conservative to know that your political party allegedly controls both of these houses in the Texas legislature, but only one house is working toward that the priorities of the Republican Party?
Well, very, very concerned. As of, I think it was end of, was it last week or week before? I think at one point there were about over 300 bills passed by the Senate, about 85 passed by the House. And the Senate priorities were very much in line with the GOP priorities. I think between the lieutenant governor and the governor, with their priorities, they hit, you know, just about everything. And when we looked at the House priorities, we were kind of waiting in batches for, you know, the priorities to come out that Republicans were really worried about. And, you know, the first batch we got was data privacy and no sales tax on tampons, you know, and then the second batch came out and still nothing. So now we see the House delaying on passing a lot of conservative priorities. And I don't know how many are going to make it over the finish line. Well, you know, only time will tell, but I'm definitely concerned.
Representative Tinderholt, you're going to take the ball first. I mean, you're watching what's going on. Tell the Salcedo Storm podcast audience what's going on up there. Why are none of the Republican Party's priorities being addressed?
Well, you know, I think it starts off with what we fought early in session. We were fighting leaving. We would leave for 4 days at a time. And not only does it cost taxpayer dollars when we go home and do nothing, nothing moves. The bills just don't move. And it's traditionally been that way in the Texas House where everything moves really slow at the beginning and then they cram hundreds of bills over into the Senate at the end. And it's a good way to be able to tell people we ran out of time. But this is the first session where we're talking about it boldly up front and voting against leaving and telling people, look, this is what they're doing. And things are not moving. They're not moving like they should be. I will tell you that I think child gender modification, I feel semi-confident about that because I'm on the committee with it. But we had 8 priorities, and our first priority got killed on day 2. It's just very telling of this building.
Well, Representative Harrison, how do you see all this?
So this is my first regular session down here as a member of the Texas legislature. And, you know, so I don't have a great sense like the other guests and my friends here on the call do, having lived through multiple sessions between them, several sessions. So this is my first one. I will say, you know, I was one of the ones that was voting against the extended recesses in the early parts of session. And we are getting to a point where I think we go right around the 40-day mark of what's left. And I am starting to get concerned that the number of priorities that I think we need to get done for this session to be a victory, as defined, I don't mean just by a handful of folks, but a victory for the 30 million Texans that we're honored to represent. I think, you know, I will give credit where credit's due. On the floor of the House today, there were 2 massive conservative victories, one that really reins in out of control local government bureaucratic policies that crush jobs and destroy liberty. That was passed today. A book to ban taxpayer funded pornographic material from schools, that did pass on the floor of the House today. So that is absolutely an encouraging sign. But that said, we've got 30 million Texans, and there are a lot of things that they're expecting of their leaders. I mean, Texas has a well-deserved reputation for leading the nation in the defense of individual liberty and of freedom and of conservative values. So they have high expectations for us. And passing a few key bills, while good, is not going to be sufficient. That's not going to be what my constituents consider victory. We've got to secure the border. We've got to pass vaccine mandates. I've got a bill to do that. That is making good progress. But we've got to get school choice done. We've got to solve our energy market. You know, we've got to protect the people and rein in executive powers in the state. We got to secure the border. So there's a lot we absolutely have to do.
Sure.
And the clock is ticking.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The clock is ticking. And now, and by the way, let me throw in here that the speaker, Dade Phelan, has set as a priority getting these rogue DAs in Texas under heel, making sure that they are doing the will of the legislature and actually prosecuting laws instead of playing politics with the rule of law. And so that needs to be applauded as well. And that's something that does need to get over the finish line. But let me ask all of you, because I think that just, you know, we rank and file citizens out here can look at this one of 2 ways. You've got the Texas Senate that is conservative and working very, very hard. And then you've got the House full of a bunch of lazy folks in leadership who are just being lazy and mailing it in. That's one way of looking at it. There's another way of looking at it, saying, and I think that Representative Tinderholt alluded to this, this is a tactic for those who are moderate, who are squishes, who really hate. I think, Mr. Rinaldi, the last time you and I spoke, you said this, that there's a lot of folks in Republican leadership who really have a lot of clear disdain for their own voters. So this is their way of trying to BS the voters into thinking, oh, we really, really tried, but we just ran out of time, running out the clock. So I'm going to go down the list with you guys. What do you think is really going on here? Mr. Rinaldi, you first.
You know, I think it's the same mentality we had with Joe Strauss, that you know, a good session is if we could deal with water, the budget, rural broadband, and all of the infrastructure issues, and ignore all of those pesky social issues that you know, the moderates don't want to deal with. I think that ultimately is the philosophy. And the idea is the more bills they could push off, the less of those pesky social issues that just divide everybody.
Okay.
That's their words, not mine.
Yeah.
Now, the reality is we're losing our country. The social issues are what's creeping in and affecting the lives of every parent that has a child in school. The border is a disaster. It's all of those issues right now that are at the forefront of people's minds. And they're the ones we have to tackle. This is a mentality that we can't afford to have anymore. And it's unfortunately a mentality that too many moderates do have.
Well, Representative Tinderholt, so Is it A, laziness? B, is it just intentionally running out the clock out of hatred and disdain for their own voters? Or as Chairman Rinaldi came up with an option C, where are you going to go?
You know, I think it's this is my fifth session, and it's a tactic that's used to run out the clock and use certain bills for leverage. I got to tell you, I applaud the Senate for moving bills quickly that are priorities for Republicans. But then Dan Patrick came out and said, look, if you're going to go at the pace you're going, he is going to hold some important things up to force a special session. I tell you, I applaud that 100%. The governor and the Senate want to push Republican priorities, and so do I. So if we have to do a special session to give Republican voters what they're asking for, I am all for that 100%. We can keep moving one or two bills a week for the next 40 days and end up having to come back. Or we can do the right thing for voters, push the priorities out front, pass them, and do what the voters are asking us to do.
Representative Harrison, as the new guy and somebody who worked in the lightning fast Trump administration, how are you feeling? And please give me the A, B, or C option, what you think is going on, but also give me your impression of how you feel seeing the snail's pace of getting things done when you see across the Capitol there, the Senate doing such fast and good work.
Yeah, like I said at the top, you know, I don't have a frame of reference for what is, you know, quote unquote normal, but I will tell you this, as somebody who has come from multiple Republican presidential administrations, and especially the most recent one, where we were absolutely empowered to be bold and move fast and do big things for the people that we serve, I am always going to be in the category that believes that we need to be moving faster and being more bold. The border is absolutely an unmitigated disaster. If we do not do real action that result in net decreases of illegal crossings, then it's a failure. And the billions and billions of dollars we're spending is a failure. We have to do something about that. My constituents are in my office or on my email or on my text messages all the time wondering if they're going to be able to stay in their house because we have out-of-control property taxes. And look, I will vote for the House property tax reforms that are being proposed. I'll vote for the Senate property tax reforms that are being proposed. But let me be clear about this. I think we need to be thinking bigger and bolder and getting the state of Texas on a path towards property tax elimination so that Texans can finally own their own homes for the first time. Right now, you can't own your home in the state of Texas. These are the kind of big, bold policies that our constituents expect from us, and it's what Texans deserve.
Well, you're not going to get any argument there. Let me reintroduce all of you so the folks know who we're talking to. The conservative chairman of the Republican Party of Texas, Matt Rinaldi. Conservatives who serve in the Texas House, Tony Tinderholt. Brian Harrison, representing the 94th and the 10th representative Texas district, I should say. Guys, one of the big issues that I have to admit that there is bold movement on, and it's bold movement to kill it. It was a bold move by 24 of your fellow air quotes Republicans who voted, led by a man by the name of Charlie Guerin, voted for an initiative as part of a budget. I think it was a budget amendment to prohibit any money going, government money going to school choice programs. Now, of course, as you all three know, the polling in Texas is clear. Republicans, Democrats, and independents, by an overwhelming majority, they support parental school choice. But you've got Republicans saying, led by Charlie Guerin, we know better. We tell you what to do. So screw you. And they come up with this vote in the House to prohibit funding for school choice, which, by the way, I believe is the civil rights struggle of the 21st century. Chairman Rinaldi, how can Republicans call themselves Republicans and get away with such a slap in the face vote, a stabbing in the back, really, of parents in Texas?
I don't know. It's a pretty slam dunk issue. I mean, you're talking about 88% of Republican primary voters in the last election voted that in favor of money moving with the student. That was greater than even the pro-life constitutional amendment we put on the ballot for the primary. Rural areas, it was still 88%. Rural voters overwhelmingly favored school choice. In fact, all voters did. When TPPF did a poll, I think 66% of Democrats supported it. Mid-70s percent of independents supported it. It's really a slam dunk issue.
No, I concur. So I don't understand why the headlines, Texas Republican, that's Guerin, tries to block school funding choice. And Representative Tinderholt, let me throw some other headlines that have come in. A McKinney teacher, I believe it was McKinney, just got arrested for arranging a fight club inside of our government-run schools here in the state of Texas. You know about the sexually explicit books. You know about the rash of teachers who have been arrested in GovEd for what the Democrats will call an improper relationship with children, which you and I would call the rape of a child and sexual misconduct with a child. I'm talking about the one in Grand Prairie and a couple of others across this state. So the parents of Texas are calling for school choice. Under what rubric, under what type of conscience can any Republican say, we don't think you ought to have that choice?
You know, I think sometimes people get into this building and they forget who they work for. It's pretty simple. I work for the voters, the people that elect me, the people that I represent. Some of those are teachers, and the majority of them are parents that want choice for their child. And who knows better what's best for their individual child than the parent? They know whether the public school system's good for them, and it's great for some people. Others know if they want a Catholic or Christian school. Some people want different types of schools for different types of reasons. But when we have some educational systems, and I'm going to reiterate some, it's not all, that are grooming our children, giving them sexually explicit books and doing things that we deem inappropriate with our children, we should certainly have the choice to put our children where we deem it best. And, you know, the bills that are being pushed right now have some horrific things that people at home probably don't even know about. I think the one that looks like it was even possibly going to move was about $500 million. Only a third of that, I believe, was going to go to suburban areas like where I live. And if you currently had students in private school, they wouldn't be included. I think that's just not a really, really good way to do the school choice. And then they had provisions in there, I think, for $30,000 to $50,000 per student that left. The public school system would get an advance of that cash. If you really care about student outcomes, if you truly care about them, why doesn't 100% of the money follow them? And historically, states that have done anything close to this lose less than 1% and then less than population growth. So the schools aren't going to go away. Public schools are not going to get decimated.
No, and actually the other side who claims that that parents can't have school choice because it'll destroy GovEd. Well, if your GovEd is so wonderful, why would any parent want to take their child out of it? They actually ultimately defeat their own argument when they come up with that one. Representative Harrison, you've got South Texas teachers arrested for sex with students, two of them in a school district in South Texas. Tyler, Texas, you've got another one of these teachers arrested. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. The LGBTQ, ABCDFG cultural Marxist agenda, the hate whitey critical race theory agenda, the gender confusion, everything that's being pushed in GovEd because they get their money from the Charlie Guerins of the world, because they don't have to satisfy parents. They just have to satisfy their donors, whoever's greasing the skids or greasing their palms from the education lobby. This is the worst way to run an education system, is it not? And isn't it time that Texas joined the civilized states and gave parental school choice?
And you know who doesn't say a word about the abuses that we're learning about taking out in some of these government schools? The teacher unions, the taxpayer-funded lobbyists, the Texas Association of School Boards, the Texas Association of School Administrators. They are circling the wagons to cover for a system that is failing. And this is statistically provable. It is failing over 3 in 4 Texas students. Chris, I am on the Public Education Committee in the Texas House. We have hearing after hearing on this. Over 75% of Texas eighth graders cannot read and do math at grade level. If you oppose school choice, you are opposing parents, and you are defending a system that is failing over three quarters of Texas students. And Chris, as the nation, there's a school choice wave that is sweeping the nation. State after state are doing the right thing and empowering their parents to be in control of their kids' education. And what did the Texas House do last week? We passed a budget that made school choice illegal. I was so incensed by this amendment, I went to the floor of the House, I argued against it, and then because it was not stripped out, I voted against the entire budget. Because I agree with you, there is perhaps no greater domestic issue right now. I agree with Ted Cruz and others who articulated as the civil rights issue of our time. And there is no possible way to defend the proposition that a parent should be in charge of their kids' education. We have to get this done. And you know what? We need to be bold and be big on this. The left, the liberal teachers' unions, the liberal media, they are going to respond the same way. They're going to accuse us of hating public education, which is a lie. They're going to accuse us of not supporting teachers, which is a lie. They're going to do that whether we have a timid and small school choice program or if we do what Texas should do, lead the nation, produce, pass the biggest, most robust, universal bill that puts every parent in charge because every student deserves a quality education. That's what I and other conservatives down here are fighting for. But unfortunately, it is a very uphill battle in the Capitol.
Right. And it's
Chris, I just want to point out, too, the mentality of the teachers unions in fighting things that are good for students, good for parents. I think Tony might remember this issue, but in 2017, we were fighting for revoking pensions of teachers that were convicted of sex crimes against children in school. And the teachers unions and some liberal House Republicans pushed back on even that. They wanted teachers to get their pensions. We ended up having to soften the bill so their spouses still got their half of the pension. This is for teachers using the schools to commit crimes against kids, and they still pushed back against that. This is the mentality, is all circling the wagons for teachers, no matter what, with no thought to the students or parents.
You know,
Chairman Rinaldi, just real quick, you cannot put too fine a point on the point that he's making here. And especially after the last 2.5 years of COVID, it should be abundantly clear that liberal teacher unions, Chris, they are the enemy of students, of teachers, parents, of education freedom, of poor families, of science. They oppose election integrity. They oppose liberty. They oppose critical thought. They oppose traditional education, and they oppose Texas values. I can tell you a couple things they're for, though. They are for the criminalization of parents. They are okay with the FBI targeting parents as terrorists. They're for CRT. They're for COVID mandates. They're for state income taxes in Texas. They're for the remote learning, so-called. They support Joe Biden. They support Kamala Harris. They support Beto. And they support depriving poor families and children of educational opportunities. Chris, the Texas legislature, this session, we have a simple choice: parents or liberal teachers unions. It should not be a hard choice.
Well, Chris, let me chime in a little bit on that. We're all in lockstep with that. But I want to be clear to the listeners, because we're going to have some teachers out there. We truly appreciate the current teachers and how they're shaping our communities and the great things that some of them are doing out there. But the unions are absolutely destroying the education system, and the very liberal woke teachers. And I want to be clear that we don't believe that that's all of them.
No, look, I think you, I'm glad you said that, because I was going to say that and also add that because of the failed gov ed system, gentlemen, that Texas still hasn't seen the wisdom to join the other civilized states in the union to permit choice. The system deprives teachers, good teachers, and students of the resources they need, while superintendents, the top paid superintendent in the state of Texas, pulls down $512,000 a year, $500,000. That's more than the president of the United States makes. And the top ISD superintendent who is pushing all of those deviancies, the racism, the gender dysphoria, and all this stuff, pushing all of this stuff, that's what they're pulling down. And it's a disgrace. And I think that there is nobody with a conscience who could side with criminals inside of our school system and defend the current system that gives parents no say at this point. Gentlemen, the last thing I want to talk with you about is what was already brought up, the idea of a special session and how it's going to thwart and how it can thwart the dragging of the feet of those who are in the House leadership. And I don't want to just focus on the Speaker, because as you all know, the Speaker himself has many masters, so it's not all up to him. But I do want to say that a special session could go a long way to getting these priorities done, if that's what it takes. Mr. Rinaldi, you first.
Well, I don't think it's, you don't just call one special session. I think what the governor needs to do in order to make sure school choice passes and all the other Republican priorities as well is say, if this doesn't pass, I'm going to call special sessions until this passes. It's basically what Governor Perry did in 2013 with the 20-week abortion ban. If there's anything that can get it done, it's that. The state reps, if they're protective of one thing, it's certainly their summer vacation as well. And and if you threaten to do that, I think a lot of this stuff will see movement in it.
Well, Representative Tinderhall, you brought this up, so it seems like it could be a tactic to defeat the complacency and let's be frank, the pro-left wing, the pro-liberal element inside the Republican Party in the House.
I think the governor is going to have a great opportunity right now to step up and call a special session if we don't deliver what the voters asked us to deliver in regards to Republican priorities. The governor, I agree with Matt that the governor will call a special session and then to subsequently call additional special sessions. But to make sure that the members know up front, if you don't pass these in the first special session, we're going to keep having them. And look, I think we're all sitting here talking about something that we feel like is going to happen. I want to be clear. I want those people to be able to go on their family vacations. I want my peers to be able to go be with their families. But if we're not going to deliver what the voters asked, then I think that the lieutenant governor's right. Special session is going to happen. And my hope is that we continue to do special session after special session until we deliver what we came here for. The voters asked us to do 8 things, and I think it's our job to deliver.
Amen to that. And Representative Harrison, the governor has been traveling all over the state, making speech after speech. He is committed to giving the parents of Texas, Democrat, Republican, independents, what they want, as Charlie Guerin is committed to denying them that. So are you in favor of special session until it's done?
Well, the governor, Governor Greg Abbott, is absolutely all in, fully committed to universal school choice. I was talking to him about this on the floor of the House just last week. He is fully committed. And I agree with what Chairman Rinaldi said a minute ago. I mean, look, if I were the governor, given how important this is, especially if you're somebody who wants to fix public education, as I do, I've got 4 young kids. They attend public schools. We do have some good public schools in the state. We do have amazing teachers in the state. But as the statistics I mentioned earlier prove, not all Texans have that opportunity. This is so important. If I were the governor, I would just put the marker down right now and say, we'll be here till the next session in 2025 if you guys do not deliver a bold, robust, universal choice to my desk.
I love it. I love it. Gentlemen, I really appreciate the visit. We've got to do this again, not only here on the podcast, but also do it on broadcast radio, on KSEV, and the simulcast on TNT Radio. And many of you have appeared on the Salcedo Show on Newsmax. So if we need to let the nation know about what's going on and the intransigence of some of those inside of the Republican Party in the House only, my program is available to all 3 of you. Matt Rinaldi, Representative Tony Tinderholt, and Representative Brian Harrison. Gentlemen, you have my confidence. You have my thanks.
Always good to talk to you, buddy.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
That there puts a wrap on our first session sources on the Salcedo Storm podcast. Do me a favor, friends, if you want to see expanded coverage on what's happening inside the Texas legislature, all you got to do is go to TexasScorecard.com. TexasScorecard.com is watching what the House is doing, or in this case, not doing, like a hawk. So make sure you head there and check in with TexasScorecard.com. Also check out ChrisSalcedo.com. That's how you find me. That's how you find the radio shows on AM 700 KSEV, the voice of Texas. That is simulcast with TNT Radio. TNTRadio.live, heard all over Mother Earth. And you can also check out the Chris Salcedo Show on Newsmax, 4 o'clock Eastern until 5, Monday through Friday. Until we visit again, my friends, remember this. A society's worth is not measured by how much power is stolen by an out-of-control government, but rather by how much power is reserved for you and me. We, the people. Stay safe out there, my friends.